This is the Motley Fool Radio Show. It is our business of comedy special. Jeff Foxworthy is one of the country's most successful comedians. He's the author of numerous books, including You Might Be a Redneck If. And he's part of the very successful Blue Collar Comedy Tour. We spoke with him a few years back about his career in comedy.
Take us back a bit. 14 years ago, you decided to quit a $30,000 a year job to work the comedy club circuit. What were you doing, and why did you decide to get into comedy?
You know what? I was working at IBM. I carried a tool bag. I repaired machines. And a bunch of guys I worked with kept daring me to go up at the comedy club. They would go down there every week, and they were like, oh, Jeff, you're as funny as those people down there. And I finally took them up on it and went down there, and they were having a contest, and I got on stage, and I won the contest the first night I'd ever done it. And, I mean, it sounds so hokey. I knew 2 minutes into it, it was like, this is what I want to do. And so I quit my job at IBM. My mother and father thought I had totally lost my mind. I can still see my mother sitting at the kitchen table, you know, with a full pot of coffee, so you know it's a serious conversation. And my mother's going, "What is wrong with you? Are you on drugs? We can get you help." And I'm like, "No, I just want to be a comedian." And then 5 years later, I'm on Johnny Carson. And my mother says to me, "You know, you wasted all those years at IBM."
How long after you made that decision until it was a good decision financially?
You know what? It was several years. I mean, because the first month I did comedy, I made $20. By about the fourth
which
month
back in the 80s was enough to live on.
Yeah, well, thank God I had such a great wife, because, I mean, if it hadn't been for her, we would have starved to death, just because it takes so long to kind of get started, you know. And I think I went from 30,000 the first year in comedy. I made 13,000.
Wow.
And then it kind of steadily grew from there.
And Jeff, I'm wondering, you've mentioned your job at IBM a few times. Let's pretend you never went into comedy. 14 years later, where do you think you are within the IBM structure right now?
I've always said I'm two decisions away from drywalling. you know what? I mean, I don't know. I think that the day that I went in to tell them that I was going to quit, they were going to send me to manager school. So I would probably, you know, be some middle-level manager, I guess.
Okay.
Now, you've been out on the road for 14 years now. What's the strangest thing that's ever happened to you?
Oh, man, that would be hard to say. You know, I think back to some of those first gigs that I ever had to do. Because you had no money. You would take anything. Did a birthday party at a skating rink one time where I'm performing while the people took a break from roller skating. And behind me, they had a folding table piled high with shrimp. And people would take turns. While you were performing, they would just get up and roller skate past you and get some shrimp and roller skate back. That sticks out as not a very good gig.
What's one thing you know now about the comedy business 14 years later that you wish you knew when you started out?
Oh, you know what? Well, I've had a lot of people ask me, you know, if you knew now what you didn't know then, would you do it? And the honest answer is probably no. Sometimes ignorance really is bliss, because I had no idea when I quit my job at IBM how many people were doing this for a living. I mean, probably when I started, there were 6,000 people trying to be a comic. Well, you know, out of that 6,000, probably a handful or two actually really makes it out of that. Thank God I didn't know that.
What do you cite as your greatest success as a comedian?
Well, you know what? When I first started doing it, the only goal I ever had was to be on Johnny Carson. Because back then, and when I was growing up, you know, you didn't have all the cable and things, and that was kind of the top of the mountain, that, you know, that was as good as it got. And in fact, I've heard a lot of people say that. I heard Letterman say not long ago that was his best moment. And I've got a picture right here in my office of me sitting in the chair talking to Johnny, and Johnny has his head back laughing. And it was like, God, that's all I ever wanted to do from the time I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, what do you highlight as among your smartest and your dumbest investments? Your smartest and your dumbest investment.
Oh, man. You know, one of the smartest things I ever did financially, my wife and I, right from the beginning, just kind of said, you know what, we're not going to go into debt every month. And if we can't afford something, we're just not going to get it. And so we became savers early In fact, we just, believe it or not, just built the first home we've ever owned, but we always just saved for it and said, you know what, we're not going to do this till we can pay for it. And so I think whether, you know, it was 13 grand a year or whatever it is now, that was just a smart thing not to get in debt every month.
How about your dumbest?
Oh, Lord. Old sayings become old sayings because there's a lot of truth in them. Don't get in the restaurant business.
Was there a Foxworthy's?
Yeah, there was a barbecue restaurant deal that wasn't really lucrative.
How was the food?
You know what? It was actually pretty good. But...
And for more foolishness, when you want to hear it, subscribe to the Motley Fool Interviews podcast. It's an audio file that's delivered to your computer or MP3 audio player. Just visit npr.org and click on NPR Podcasts to learn more.